please, for our second reading, which is 2 Chronicles chapter 10. Second Chronicles chapter 10, verse 1. Hear now the inerrant, infallible, and inspired word of God. And Rehoboam went to Shechem, for to Shechem were all Israel come to make him king. And it came to pass, when Jeroboam, the son of Nebat, who was in Egypt, whither he had fled from the presence of Solomon the king, heard it, that Jeroboam returned out of Egypt. And they sent and called him. So Jeroboam and all Israel came and spake to Rehoboam, saying, Thy father made our yoke grievous. Now therefore, ease thou somewhat the grievous servitude of thy father and his heavy yoke that he put on us, and we will serve thee. And he said unto them, Come again unto me after 3 days. And the people departed. And King Rehoboam took counsel with the old men that had stood before Solomon his father while he yet lived, saying, What counsel give ye me to return answer to this people? And they spake unto him, saying, If thou be kind to this people, and please them, and speak good words to them, they will be thy servants forever. But he forsook the counsel which the old men gave him, and took counsel with the young men that were brought up with him that stood before him. And he said unto them, What advice give ye, that we may return answer to this people, which have spoken unto me, saying, Ease somewhat the yoke that thy father did put upon us? And the young men that were brought up with him spake unto him, saying, Thus shalt thou answer the people that spake unto thee, saying, Thy father made our yoke heavy, but make thou it somewhat lighter for us. Thus shalt thou say unto them, My little finger shall be thicker than my father's loins. For whereas my father put a heavy yoke upon you, I will put more to your yoke. My father chastised you with whips, but I will chastise you with scorpions. So Jeroboam and all the people came to Rehoboam on the third day, as the king bade, saying, Come again to me on the third day. And the king answered them roughly. And the king Rehoboam forsook the counsel of the old men and answered them after the advice of the young men, saying, My father made your yoke heavy, but I will add thereto. My father chastised you with whips, but I will chastise you with scorpions. So the king hearkened not unto the people, for the cause was of God, that the Lord might perform his word, which he spoke by the hand of Ahijah the Shilonite to Jeroboam the son of Nebat. And when all Israel saw that the king would not hearken unto them, the people answered the king, saying, What portion have we in David? And we have none inheritance in the son of Jesse. Every man to your tents, O Israel. And now, David, see to thine own house. So all Israel went to their tents. But as for the children of Israel that dwelt in the cities of Judah, Jeroboam reigned over them. And then King Rehoboam sent Hadoram, that was over the tribute, and the children of Israel stoned him with stones, that he died. But King Rehoboam made speed to get him up to his chariot to flee to Jerusalem, and Israel rebelled against the house of David unto this day. May God add his blessing to the reading and to the hearing of his most holy word. Well, there, this passage, I think, is as interesting in its omissions as it is in what it makes mention of. The first omission is, and it really was the end of the last chapter, that is the death of Solomon. And notice that Solomon passes from the scene, according to the prophet here in the Chronicles, without mentioning his apostasy. In Kings, that receives quite a hearing, but not here in 2 Chronicles, and that is because we're not talking about the history of the kings, we're talking about the history of the temple. Solomon, having built the temple then and finished that work, is ready, according to the chronicler, to pass from the scene and to leave that kingdom to Rehoboam, and in him the kingdom will be divided. The kingdom of being divided is of interest to the chronicler because he is keeping track of that of that proper worship of God as it existed in the southern kingdom, although many times it was perverted by the people and fell into disrepair. Still, in the dividing of the kingdom, notice that when the people say, "What have interest in we in David?" they are also, in essence, saying, "What interest have we in Christ?" And so leaving David, leaving the temple, they left the religion of Jesus Christ and formed their own religion in the northern kingdom at the hands of the man who has now become for forever to be known as Jeroboam, the son of Nebat, who made Israel to sin. Right? That's his nickname going forward. All right, so that being said then, those are the historical undertakings. There are some interesting things for us to take note of. First of all, there are several wisdom considerations that Rehoboam should have taken into consideration. And I think the old men knew this, and so that's why they counseled him in a particular direction. Normally, when your people come to you and say, "We'll serve you forever if you do this or that," you might have a tendency to think what? Well, you might have a tendency to think, well, if you give a mouse a cookie, he's going to want a glass of milk, right? And so you start out by saying, well, make our yoke a little easier. And then what? Make our yoke a little more easier. And then what? Make our yoke a little more easier. And finally, get rid of that yoke altogether, right? Okay, so maybe that's in the back of the minds of some of the folks that are counseling Rehoboam here, but still they counsel Rehoboam not to be so hard on the people, not to be so heavy-handed toward the people. Now remember that this division in the northern and southern kingdoms is not brand new with Solomon. Remember when Gideon and his folks slew the Midianites, remember what the Ephraimites did. Hey! How come he didn't call us? And there was a division between them even then. And it took Gideon a lot of work to pacify that division. In other words, this north-south division is not brand new here. And so those counselors that are coming to King Rehoboam are indeed speaking to him with those things in mind. There's a history here. And perhaps Solomon was difficult to them. We know that there were times when David was overly difficult as well. We also know that in Saul and David and then Solomon, we have the beginnings of the monarchy. A people is not yet perhaps used to having a king to rule over them. And so they're going to be skittish at the outset. You see, all of those wisdom considerations are coming to bear here. And we need to think about those as we examine the passage. So the older men that ministered before Solomon, who may have been somewhat responsible for that heavier yoke, they say to Rehoboam, "Let's lighten that yoke and this people will serve you forever." Now, I think that's good counsel. We don't know if that would have kept the nation together or not. The Lord hasn't seen fit to pull back that veil so we could see it. We know what happened going the other direction. But one thing that I want you to take note of here is that Solomon had a Rehoboam had a predetermined course in mind when he called the old men to him. And when he called them and they gave him that counsel, it says he didn't listen to them. Right? Notice. But he forsook the counsel, verse 8, which the old men gave him, and took counsel with the young men that were brought up with him that stood before him. Here's the interesting part there. In going to the young men, he forsook the counsel of the old men. That's what the text says. It's a pretty interesting take, not only on his actions, but on his motivations. And so the inspired author speaks by way of inspired knowledge to the procedure of Rehoboam, who had already decided before he went to the young men to reject the counsel of the old men. We have a name for that. We call it shopping for counsel. Now, shopping for counsel is not really counsel at all. It's simply going round and round and round, asking as many people as you can until you get the answer you want, and then you check the box, "I got counsel." It's not really getting counsel, is it? However, often, that's the procedure we choose. We have a predetermined opinion in mind. We are pretty solid on that opinion. However, we understand that it is good, and perhaps less altruistically fashionable to get counsel. And so we say, we're able to say, well, I did get counsel. Could Rehoboam really say that? Well, he did receive counsel. And so there's a technical receiving of counsel there. But he rejected it even perhaps before he heard the counsel of the young men. It wasn't what he wanted to do. It sounds to me like it didn't give him enough authority, the kind of authority that he desired to exercise over that pesky northern kingdom. You know those guys. They've got rebellious ideas anyway. Let's clamp down on them. And so, notice that Jeroboam, the son of Nebat, has been recalled from Egypt. He had fled from the face of Solomon. If you remember our reading in Kings, you know also that the Lord had promised Jeroboam a kingdom in the north, and that the kingdom was rent in two because of Solomon's apostasy. None of that is mentioned here. But Jeroboam, the Lord made a promise to him, if you serve me, then you can have a kingdom in the north. You will have it with my blessing. Sadly, Jeroboam never served the Lord, but developed false worship immediately upon being acceding to the throne. So then, we want to watch out for in our own minds for what we call shopping for counsel. Pray with the receipt of counsel that the Lord would open your understanding to be objective about the counsel that you receive. Often, the right counsel will come to you in the minority of counselors. So, we have then the willfulness of Rehoboam and the sad consequences, especially because he was a king. And remember that we just prayed about what happens when we sin and the effects of that sin upon our inferiors. And so Solomon, as the king, says to this guy, Hadoram, who's the tribute collector, that pesky northern kingdom, you go up there and get those taxes right now that they owe me. And Hadoram never returns. They stoned him with stones, and he died, obeying the command of his king, which was a sinful command at that point because the nation had already departed. So there are several things then that we watch out for in 2 Chronicles 10. We watch out for shopping for counsel. We watch out for applying an authority in such a way that is grievous. The fifth commandment of the larger catechism, what are the sins of superiors? Very, very informative, very helpful, highly recommended. And then the last thing we look for in ourselves is pressing our willfulness to the point where it sorely, sadly, and grievously affects those under us such that they are afflicted as consequences of our actions that we pressed. Okay? All right, that's 2 Chronicles chapter 10.